in the United States Senate today by a vote of 51-49, voted to open ANWR, the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, to oil and gas drilling. This is an important element of President Bush's energy policy, but it has been an issue in the United States Senate now for many years. Joining us now to talk more about today's developments is Richard Maurer, reporter for the Anchorage Daily News. And by the way, if you wanted to give us your reaction about the opening the vote in the U.S. Senate and about what happens now to the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, give us a phone call. Our number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email is totn@npr.org. Anyway, Richard Maurer joins us from his office. It's here in Washington. Thanks very much for being with us.
Hey, no problem.
What was the scene on the Senate floor today?
It was, I guess, kind of a typical vote. Everyone milling around. There were lots of speeches on both sides, but in the end, there was some nervousness. But in the end, the Alaska delegation prevailed.
The Alaska delegation, both the senators from Alaska, overwhelmingly in favor of this legislation.
Extremely so. Ted Stevens, in fact, had complained. Senator Ted Stevens, our senior senator, had complained last week that he was feeling depressed over not being able to get anything done on this issue for 24 years. And today he said, "I'm smiling again."
Well, what does Senator Stevens, the supporters of this measure, what do they say changed that made it possible after nearly a quarter of a century to finally win on this issue?
Basically one thing, and that was the November election when there was a net gain of three people who would favor opening the refuge. I mean, there are other things at work as well, high oil prices. But I think the biggest thing, and they would agree, was the election.
And in fact, Lisa Murkowski, the junior senator from Alaska, squeaked through in her election. Though, if memory serves, her opponent also supported drilling in ANWR.
Oh, absolutely, and that would be Democrat Tony Knowles, former governor, and he said that he would be the best choice in trying to open the refuge because he might be able to convince one or two more Democrats. Lisa Murkowski said that wasn't the case. However it turned out, she did succeed this time around. But there are many, many more steps along the way, though.
Oh, sure. But remind us how ANWR became a flashpoint in the first place.
Well, it goes back to 1980 with the Great Alaska Lands Compromise, when about 100 million acres of land was set aside in parks and wildernesses and other protection. The 1.5 million acres of the coastal plain of the refuge, they could not agree to a compromise on that, whether it should be open for drilling or set aside, and so it was just left as a study area pending future action by Congress.
And this became really the center point in the environmental versus energy battle, if people chose to characterize it that way. ANWR became the principal issue on both sides.
Oh, totally. I mean, there are calendars, there are movies about ANWR. It's a beautiful place. Whereas today one of the Republican senators called it the dark side of the moon. I think other senators, and as well as people who've been there, especially in the summer, would say that that's probably not a correct characterization.
Well, Richard Maurer, stay with us. Joining us now from Capitol Hill is Democratic Senator Maria Cantwell, one of those who led the fight against drilling in ANWR. Good of you to join us on Talk of the Nation.
Thank you very much.
This was a hard-fought battle today. Is it the end?
Well, I think the budget still has to pass. There's certainly language that has to reconcile with the budget out of the Energy Committee. So we're going to continue to voice opposition to opening up a wildlife refuge for oil drilling.
After all of this time, what was it that tipped the issue?
Well, I think, frankly, it's the change in the Senate. I mean, the Republicans picked up four seats, so they had more people on their side to support the issue. Certainly, they have, as a party, been more supportive of opening up this wildlife refuge.
What is at stake from your point of view?
Well, I think it's symbolic. Obviously, there is a wildlife refuge and the significant amount of problems with pollution at Prudhoe Bay, to me, raises a question of how could you open up and have the coexistence of drilling and a wildlife refuge? But I think it's also symbolic. The wildlife refuge in Alaska is symbolic of a larger debate. I think Americans are clear. They want to get off our dependence on fossil fuel. They know that we're not going to get off our dependence on foreign oil unless we diversify off of fossil fuels. So they want to see investment in natural gas. They want to see investment in renewable technology. They want to see investment in ethanol. They want to see efficiencies in transportation that could save us billions of dollars in efficiency in transportation and producing barrels of energy from alternatives.
At the same time, Americans are looking at the gas pump and seeing gas at about $2 a gallon and natural gas prices going up as well.
Well, that's exactly right, and people in my state lead the way in frustration over gas prices. They want to know why you have four refineries in the state of Washington, so the closest proximity you could have to the supply, and yet some of the highest prices. They want to know why gasoline companies export so much of their product and distill it. Is it actually increasing the price of gasoline by exporting some of the supply? On the Arctic Wildlife Refuge, it is important to note that none of that oil has to stay in the United States. And with a cheap dollar, if you don't think that they aren't going to sell that product internationally, they're going to. So this even by the president's forecast on energy issues, his advisor said it was going to be negligible impact on gasoline prices in America, and I believe that because I think these oil companies aren't going to sell a dime of it in the United States. I think they're going to export it for profit.
Let's get a caller on the line, and this is Sandy. Sandy is calling from Fairbanks in Alaska.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You know, I think people are really familiar with the environmental and energy issues related to ANWR, but I think it's also really important to note the native rights issue. The drilling that's going to occur on the coastal plain is going to happen right in the calving grounds of the porcupine caribou herd, and that's and there's a fair amount of consensus that's going to jeopardize that resource, the caribou. And the Gwich'in people of interior Alaska and Canada have been relying on that resource for thousands of years, and I think it's just kind of a continuation of our shameful history of the way we treat our native people. It's kind of like killing off the buffalo in the 1800s. I think it's important to recognize that issue as well.
Senator Cantwell, did that play a part in today's debate?
Well, I think it's a critical issue, and that is, where do we want to be 30 or 40 years from now, looking back at our particular step at this point in time? I think we want to look back and say that our generation helped us get off of our dependence on foreign oil and preserved a unique wildlife area for future generations. I think the caller from Fairbanks is very accurate. That's why we originally preserved the wildlife refuge, for the, to be able to have that caribou population and other animals continue to thrive there, and to protect the water resource to make sure that there was clean and ample water in that region. So we're threatening that. I don't think you can convince people that you can drill for oil and simultaneously keep a wildlife refuge clean and pristine.
If I could add something to that?
First let me say thanks, Sandy, for her phone call.
But, all right, thank you.
Go ahead, Richard.
Well, I know some of the opponents of drilling had sought to try and reach out to Senator Akaka of Hawaii. He's a Democrat who had once voted for drilling, thinking that because he has strong concerns for Aboriginal rights and Indigenous rights in Hawaii, and thought that that perhaps he would change his vote and side with the Gwich'in people. But he ultimately said that the Inupiats, the Eskimo people further north, wanted the refuge open. They wanted the economic development, and said he was going to support opening the refuge to increase economic opportunities for the native people, despite the complaints from the Gwich'in people. So there are two sides there as well.
Okay, let's get another caller in. This is Andra. Andra's also calling from Fairbanks in Alaska.
Hi.
Hi.
I was going to comment and say that I think it's a good thing that it passed, but ultimately I think this question is a question for the people of Alaska. As the person who just commented had said, there are people in Alaska that are for and against this, people of the native cultures and the non-native cultures, and it ultimately should be our issue. It's very disappointing for somebody living here to have a population, what we call outside, in these big cities that have no idea of what this project really entails, being swayed by some small public interest groups and telling them all these things about this area, and they've got no clue about what it's like to live up here and what the situation really is. So I'm glad that we finally got an opportunity to go ahead with the project, and I believe that it can be done reasonably safely and protecting the wildlife refuge.
Senator Cantwell, people obviously on both sides of this issue in Alaska, though the great majority of them favor opening the ANWR.
Well, I think the issue, I get why Alaskans favor it. With the oil revenue royalties, Alaskans stand to gain a lot of money. But the issue is the designation that was done many years ago was a national designation of a wildlife refuge. There are a great many parts of Washington state that are part of our national forest system. It doesn't mean that what happens within the forests are determined by individuals in Washington state, because we've already determined that there's a national interest there. And I think while Alaskans might benefit in the short run, I actually think that there are three times the amount of jobs and three times the amount of economic impact that we could get from the natural gas in Alaska that would benefit in driving an impact on natural gas in the United States. And I think that it's a cleaner technology. In the 1970s, this country made a big leap mm-hmm. off of home heating oil to natural gas, and it helped us get off our dependency on oil. We should make the same change now and focus on natural gas and not on the oil.
Senator Cantwell, thank you very much for being with us. Maria Cantwell, Senator from Washington State, joined us from her office on Capitol Hill. And we're talking about the vote in the U.S. Senate today to open ANWR, the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, to oil and gas exploration. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And joining us now is Gail Norton, Interior Secretary of the United States. Thanks very much for being with us today.
I'm happy to join you today.
This is a culmination of a 24-year battle overall, but certainly this administration has pushed for opening ANWR to drilling ever since it took office. There must be a feeling of victory today.
Well, it is a very good sign. We are really pleased with having the Senate, for the first time, vote to support having oil and gas exploration in ANWR. It's very significant for America's energy future.
There are some congressional hurdles yet to pass, but after today's vote, this is expected to become law. If it does, and obviously the House of Representatives has to weigh in, but if it does, how soon would you hope to see production begin in ANWR?
We would anticipate that the leasing would take place. We'd have an auction for the leases, and that would probably be in 2007. And then following that, we would need to do some additional environmental planning and figure out the areas that would be set aside for wildlife and so forth. So there would be a planning process both a little before and after the lease sale. And so we would anticipate that it would be a few years down the line when we would actually see production taking place.
And the oil companies bidding on these leases, who would get the money?
It's the taxpayers that get that money, and it's expected to be several billion dollars that will go to the taxpayers for this. And of that, $1 billion is, according to the plan that was passed by the Senate today, to go for conservation purposes.
If I may jump in here.
Richard Maurer, go ahead.
There's a considerable dispute over the whether there will be a 50-50 split, as the budget resolution suggests, or whether the Statehood Act would prevail, the Alaska Statehood Act, which says that it should be a 90-10 split, 90% to Alaska, 10% to the federal government, and all of Alaska's senators and our congressmen agree that it should be 90-10, although they're not speaking very loudly about that, as you
at least not today. Yes,
yes.
Right. Okay.
Well, I think they recognize that 90-10 split is, of course, very popular in Alaska. But it has to be approved by the entire Congress, and it's going to take a 50-50 split to be approved by the entire Congress.
Let's get a caller on the line. Michael's with us from Long Island in New York.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
I wanted to know what your expectancy is for how much is going to be able to be pulled from this oil supply per day, and, you know, in terms of how many barrels. And based on that number, how long do you expect for this supply to last. And once the supply is drained, you know, whoever it is that builds on this land, what are you going to do with this facility once it's done, being that you're building it in the, you know, basically in the middle of a wildlife preserve? And I'll take my answer offline.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead, Secretary Norton.
First of all, we expect about 1 million barrels a day to be produced from this area at its peak. We expect that production, as Prudhoe Bay has done, would probably go on for 30 years or so. The facilities would be managed very strictly regulated by the federal government, but once they are reclaimed, once the production is over and the areas are reclaimed, that would go back to being managed as part of the wildlife refuge system.
One final question before we let you go, Secretary Norton, and would you expect now to be pressing for other areas to be open for oil and gas exploration?
We absolutely do not have plans for other refuges to be opened for oil and gas. This is not, you know, the first of a series of things that we're looking at. This is an area that was set aside 25 years ago. It is only a part of the refuge. We don't even expect to look anywhere else within this refuge. So we do not have plans for expanding this into other areas. It's a unique place because it has as much oil there as 41 states of the lower 48 all put together.
Secretary Norton, thank you for your time today. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Gail Norton, Interior Secretary of the United States, joined us from her office here in Washington, D.C. We'd also like to thank Richard Maurer. Appreciate your time today.
You're welcome.
Richard Maurer is a reporter for the Anchorage Daily News. He covered today's vote in the United States Senate. 51-49, the Senate voted to open the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge to oil and gas exploration. Much more on this story later today on All Things Considered from NPR News. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.